Well, Changed is the new series that we're going to be starting today. We've been talking about going together and talking about church family and some of the things that God has in store for church family, some of the things that He means for church family to be and to do and to experience. Today, as we come off of Easter weekend, and I don't dare say as we have finished celebrating Easter, right? Because we always celebrate Easter. If we're followers of Jesus, we celebrate Easter every day because it's why we have new life, right? But as we've come through Easter weekend, a fitting time for us to think, to change gears just a little bit and talk about changed. Because if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, you have been changed. And any of us, even if you're here and you say, you know what, I don't know that I would be able to describe myself as a follower of Jesus yet, that's okay. Well, it's okay because, one, you can still be changed. And two, the concept of change shouldn't be foreign to any of us, okay? Save maybe some of the really tiny people in this room. The concept of change shouldn't be foreign to us. For most of us, it's a daily occurrence, right? Things change on a daily basis. We don't know what's coming around the next turn. Things change. And you know, there are physical things that change. There are physical things that we encounter that affect us and change us, right? Like in our city a couple of years ago, we were changed as a city because of some crazy rainfall, some crazy snow melt, and a city, a downtown core that was flooded, and other places in our province that were flooded, right? Something changed. Right? We were massively affected by something. Okay? For some of us, there are other things that affect us in ways that, that can hurt. Right? Some of us who are more fair complected in this room know that when we're out in the sun for too long without any block, without maybe when skin's exposed, that we can look like this guy. Topes, could you pull up that first picture for me? That we may be changed to look something like that. Laugh of the day, right? Like, yeah, everybody, like, ouch, it's just not good, right? We're affected by things. We're changed by, not all of us have ever looked like that. Thank the Lord. But there are things around us that change us, right? There are things around us that change us. Now, we're going to look at a story today about someone that was changed. Okay, Tobes, let's just bring that down. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Tobes. He's always there for me. We're going to look at a story today where someone was changed, but we're not just changed by physical things. We're also changed relationally, right? We're changed when we're in relationship with other people. Okay? I've had the privilege of performing a few weddings, and you know, When I get to do a wedding of a young couple who's looking to get married, I always know when one of them has been in the presence of the other. You always know, right? How do you know? There's just an air about them, right? Like the guy doesn't really make sense because he's thinking about his girl, right? Like he can't even really have conversation. And she's got the smile that just reaches from ear to ear because she's been with the one that she's going to spend the rest of her life with, right? Relationship, we're affected by relationship, and relationship changes us. Now, we're in a marriage group on Saturday nights and Saturday evenings, afternoon evenings that meets, and, you know, you can also tell sometimes when someone has been with their spouse and it's not gone as well. But relationships change us. And the story we're going to look at, we're going to start in Exodus chapter 34, and then this is what we call the Old Testament, okay? The time, the recording of God and what He had in store for us and His word for us before He sent His Son Jesus into the world. And again, He was sent. He wasn't invented. He wasn't created. He was sent. The Old Testament, it's the second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, chapter 34 is where we're going to start today. Starting in verse 29. And we're going to look at a guy named Moses. And Moses was a guy who had lived a pretty incredible life. He was supposed to have been killed as a baby, but his mom she couldn't go through with it because the people that Moses was from, his people were in slavery in Egypt, and the Egyptians were getting worried about how many Hebrews, how many of God's people were coming into the world, and so they thought, well, we'll put an end to this. We'll kill all the sons of Israel. We'll kill all the Hebrew boys when they're born. And they actually told the midwives that you're supposed to be the ones that do it. And the midwives were like, man, I don't want to do that. Anyway, Moses' life was spared. And he was actually raised in the house of the king of Egypt, who declared that all these Israelite baby boys are supposed to be killed. Irony? I think so. He was raised in this house, and then stuff happened with Moses. He was struggling with who he was, where he came from, and how his people were being treated, and yet he was living in a palace, and he actually commits murder. Murders an Egyptian, and he flees, and he goes into the wilderness, and he spends lots of time there, and actually he meets his wife there, and he's got a family, and he's raising herds, and he's just kind of enjoying life. When he encounters God, and God sends him on a mission that God has for him. And his mission is that God wants to use Moses to deliver the people of Israel, deliver them out of slavery. After a little bit of fighting with God, Moses saying, I can't do it, I'm not the guy you want. God says, you're the one I've chosen. Moses says, yes, and he goes, and he follows God in letting God lead him so that God delivers the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. He takes him and he leads him and he tells him he's going to lead him to the promised land. He even leads Moses up onto a mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And Moses is in the presence of God, and God gives him what we call the Ten Commandments. And he writes them on tablets of stone. And he comes off the mountain. And while he's been on the mountain, the people have done something not great. They've formed this golden calf. They've pooled all their resources. And one of the other leaders of Israel, they melted all this gold together. They made this golden calf, and the people are worshiping this golden calf, this idol. And Moses gets mad, and he throws the tablets down, and he smashes the tablets. And like, oh man, what have I done now? I just got these from God, and now I've smashed them to pieces. God calls Moses back onto the mountain. He spends another 40 days and 40 nights. And this time, something's different about Moses. God has given him new tablets. He's given him another copy of the law. This time, there's something different about Moses. Exodus 34, starting in verse 29. Remember, he's just spent 40 days and 40 nights. And Scripture tells us that he's not eaten. He's not had anything to drink in 40 days and 40 nights. As Moses descended from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands as he descended the mountain, he did not realize that the skin of his face shone as a result of his speaking with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face shone. They were afraid to come near him. But Moses called out to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community returned to him, and Moses spoke to them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near, and he commanded them everything the Lord had told him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. After he came out, he would tell the Israelites what he had been commanded, and the Israelites would see that Moses' face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went to speak with the Lord. So you have Moses that he spent all this time with God. God's given him these new tablets, right? Because he smashed the first ones. He's given him these new tablets. And he comes down off the mountain. And it says, Moses has no idea that his face is literally glowing, okay? And we're not talking about like the guy that you just saw the picture of, okay? It's not because he's been in the sun too long. His face is glowing because he has been in God's presence. His face is radiant because he has spent time with the Holy God. Now, this was a special, what we would say, a special anointing with Moses. And you know what that means is? That Moses has been in the presence of God's glory. He was anointed. It means he's been in the presence of God's glory. And the people, were they super excited to say, man, this is obviously the presence of God's glory, right? That Moses is shining? No, they were a little worried. They were scared. And so Moses, seeing their fear, but he knew he still had to talk to them, he put a veil over his face. And he told the people everything he had to tell them. But Moses, what I want us to see this morning is that Moses was affected because he spent time in the glory of God. Because he had been in God's presence. In fact, it was a special time where it was just him and God. And Moses, he had to be obedient. And when God told him, I want you to come up on this mountain, that Moses needed to set aside the time and to go and to be with God. And say, God, whatever it is you want to say, whatever it is you want to do, I'm here. Okay? And that when Moses did that, when he made that decision, and he went and he spent that time with God, and I know what you're thinking, maybe not, maybe I don't know what you're thinking, but I know what I thought. As I usually read the story, I'm like, well, yeah, like if God told me to go up on a mountain, you know, and I heard this voice, or we don't know if it was an audible voice that Moses heard. Sure, I'd go. And especially if my face was glowing, dude, I'd be going to that mountain every day. Because I would know, right, that God had been doing something. Well, we're going to turn in just a moment to what we call the New Testament. We're going to turn to the part of our scripture where we have the record of Jesus' life and his ministry. And we're going to turn to after Jesus has been crucified, put in a grave, and resurrected like we celebrated last Sunday. We're going to turn to a book where it's a letter from one of God's chosen leaders. It's a letter to a church. And he's telling them about, you know, when Moses, when he was being led by God, he was under what was called the Old Covenant. And the Old Covenant meant law. And the law was good. The law was from God. But you know what the law did? It made sin apparent. It made sin. It made us aware that, yes, there is sin in my life because this is God's standard. This is the law. This is the letter of the law. And you know what? It's not like driving down Deerfoot for us. Or, you know, if you do, you know, 105, 108, you're fine, you know, like it's okay. God's law says if you go 100.000001 kilometers an hour, guilty. This was God's law. And it was meant to show his holiness, and it was meant to help the people understand that they had a need for him. This is the old covenant. God always promising a new covenant. And that Jesus came to give us that new covenant. That God established with the old covenant that yes, when you break the law, that there has to be shedding of blood, animals must lose their life. And you got to do it on a regular basis. Someone has to pay, something has to pay. Because of your choices. The law was a good and holy thing, but it was also a tough thing. Because everybody knew that nobody could keep it completely. So in the new covenant, God says, I am fulfilling the law in my son. That righteousness that the law requires has been absolutely, supremely, once and for all fulfilled in my son Jesus. Now I'm giving you right relationship with me through him. So Moses has a special anointing. He has a special revelation, right? Like the rest of the people of Israel, when he came down off that mountain, were their faces glowing? Scripture doesn't tell us. In fact, Scripture tells us they were afraid. So Moses had to put a veil over his face when he spoke to them. Now, turn with me. If you have your Bible, we're going to look on the screen. It'll be up on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We fast-forwarded quite a ways here, okay, as far as the span of history. But we go from Moses being in the presence of God and his face glowing, having been affected by spending time with God, and it being a special revelation to him, it being a special anointing for him. He got to be in a special way in the presence of God's glory. We go from there to now the new covenant. 2 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 7. If the ministry of death chiseled in letters on stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel were not able to look directly at Moses' face because of the glory from his face, a fading glory, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be glorious, not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness overflows with even more glory. In fact, what had been glorious is not glorious in this case because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was fading away was glorious, what endures will be even more glorious. What's he saying here? Okay, if the ministry of death chiseled in letters on stones, what is that about? What he means is that law, that old covenant we just talked about, that says if you break these even slightly, then you're guilty. The law let us know that we have a need for God. And the law let us know that we can't do it on our own. But the new covenant, see, this is a guy, God inspired a guy named Paul to write this letter to the church in Corinth. And what he's saying is look, yes, the glory that Moses got to encounter, it's amazing. But it pales in comparison. And he's going to talk about it a little bit more. It pales in comparison because now we have the new covenant. Therefore, verse 12, having such a hope, we use great boldness. Not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel could not look at the end. Excuse me, could not look at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were closed. For to this day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains. It is not lifted because it is set aside only in Christ. However, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So Paul is trying to help us understand and help his audience then understand. He's trying to say, look, yes, Moses, he got to be in the glory of God. He got to be in the glory, a special anointing, to where his face literally glowed. But it was a fading glory. He says part of the reason why Moses covered his face is because he knew that glow was going to fade a little bit. He didn't want his people to lose heart. But when we compare now in the time that Paul's writing this letter to the time of Moses, it's also the fact that, you know what? The old covenant wasn't going to always be the way. It was. The law wasn't fading, but the old covenant would fade. And the new covenant would bring life, and it would bring freedom from the law. It would be free. It would bring freedom and life. And Paul tells his audience, look, Jesus Christ is the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What's the big point we need to draw from today? The point is that the glory that Moses was under on that mountain, we get to be under every single day because God has provided a way for us to be in right relationship with Him, that we are all meant to be anointed because we have encountered the anointed one, His Son Jesus. With the Spirit of the Lord is there is freedom. We all with unveiled faces are reflecting the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. We all with unveiled faces are reflecting the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. What does that mean, from glory to glory? It means that the veil has been taken away from our eyes. We can see the truth. We have freedom in Jesus, freedom from the law. We have freedom to follow Him wholeheartedly, freedom to come into the presence of His glory. And when he says from glory to glory, it means that he continues to affect us. It doesn't mean that when I say, okay, Jesus, I believe you are who you are. I trust you. I confess my sin. I ask you to be Lord of my life. That then it's all said and done then. Yes, He has transformed us then. He has changed us then. But God continues to change and mold us. He continues to change and mold our character. Our sin is forgiven. But he continues to affect us day in and day out. The glory of the Lord being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. That every day we have the freedom and opportunity to be affected just like Moses was. And our face may not literally glow, but I'm telling you, as God changes us, our faces can literally glow. It may not be a halo hanging over our head. It may not have the most radiant skin. But I'm telling you, people will be able to know that we have been in the presence of the Most High God. People will be able to see a difference when we are changed. People will be able to see a difference. Now, I want to tell you, there's a story of, I've never been to Tokyo, but there's a story that someone recorded about their experience there, that they went to Tokyo and they went to a certain temple where people were going to worship. Now, they weren't going to worship the God that we call God, okay? They were going to worship, and there was this idol there, a statue there, and the people would go and they would line up, and it was a fenced-in area, and they would go and they had their money ready, and they would go and they would throw their money at the statue and they would pray, and then there was this incense burning in the area, and so it was said that if the incense and the smell of incense is a very unique smell, but if you could smell the incense, then that meant that this God, that this statue, was hearing your prayers, okay? And what struck this person who was watching this all take place wasn't just the fact of, wasn't what was going on, but said what struck them was that when someone had gone and they had given their offering to this altar, to this idol, when they had gone and they had prayed to this idol, and they could smell the incense, so that apparently their prayers were heard, that when they turned around, they said no one that turned around looked any different in their countenance as when they approached. Why is that significant to us? Because if we go and we come before the true living God and we are in the presence of His glory, then there should be a change in our countenance. Life still may be very hard. Life still may be pretty crazy. But there should be a change in our countenance. And people will be able to know that we have been in the glory of the Father. And Southlands, I'm not saying that we're going to be perfect at this or about this. I'm saying that I'm going to be perfect at this or about this. What I'm saying is we're given the opportunity to experience it. Given the opportunity to be changed. And next week, we're going to be talking about how not only our appearance changes, that there should be a countenance in our face that changes, or a countenance, the way we carry ourselves that changes. But next week, we're going to be talking about an aroma that we're supposed to be giving off. And next week, you know what else is going to be filling this room? The aroma of all those wonderful things that everyone's going to be preparing for lunch. Right? Because next week, don't forget, right? It's our home food potluck. Okay? And what we mean by that is we would ask you to prepare something that from your heritage or from the city you're from the culture you're from, something that reminds you of either growing up, or if you want to prepare something from the culture that you're in now, feel free, but we're just calling it home food potluck. Please plan to join us. We're going to transition this place from this setting, and we're going to set up some round tables and chairs, and we're going to have lunch together, and we're going to celebrate the fact, one, the fact that God has brought people to this group of believers from all over the world. Literally from all over the world. We have people in this room on a weekly basis worshiping together. We're going to celebrate that fact, right? But we're also going to celebrate the fact, we're going to talk about it next week. We're also going to celebrate the fact that God wants, He wants people to smell the aroma of Jesus on us. He not only wants people to be able to see in our countenance, to be able to see in us like they saw in Moses, a glowing face. It doesn't mean that you're happy all the time and everything's wonderful all the time, but there's something about us that says you've been in God's presence. Not only our countenance, but He wants our aroma to be that of Jesus Christ. We're going to come next week. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to enjoy some great food together. Okay? Okay. Today, I want to ask you, the incredible shrinking music stand, I want to ask, are we taking that time? Moses was faithful to go to the mountain and choose to spend that time with God. Now, it may not be 40 straight days and 40 straight nights, and maybe it is, I don't know. But are we being faithful to take that time to say, God, I want to encounter your glory? And yes, 24/7, if I have the Spirit living within me, I'm a follower of Jesus, then I am in the midst of your glory. But I want to have focused time that I read your word and ask you to speak to me. God, help me to know that it's your voice. Are we beholding the glory of God? Are we doing it? Do we spend time like Moses did? You know, and I want us to be, to start with that. Start with going to God and say, God, I want you to change me. And then you know what I think we'll see happen? I think we'll see that what God gives us that day may not be just for us, but it might be for somebody else too. Somebody else that needs to hear the truth that we read that day. The thing that God said to our heart that day. And I'd love for us to talk about it this week. As you're talking, as you see each other, as you talk with each other, as you talk in your family, at the dinner table or wherever it is, talk about how God is changing us.